Hello, this is Karen Bowling with Nebraska Family Alliance, and our team want to welcome you to the Nebraska Prayer Call. In observance of the National Day of Prayer, historically, prayer meetings would be taking place in all 50 state capitals right now during the noon hour. But today, we're joining thousands of people praying using different technologies in every state. We are experiencing unprecedented and uncertain times due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We need God's intervention, God's glory to invade our world, our nation, state, and communities. So in your busy schedule, we just want to say thank you for joining the prayer call. Today, our theme is taken from Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth is aching right now. People are hurting. There's so much loss today. What a privilege to pray with hundreds of Nebraskans uniting in prayer on this call. Let's pray. Lord, we come in brokenness and need, but we also come with thanksgiving and praise and say, you are a good, good Father. As we spend the next hour together, we ask you would hear our prayers, Lord. We pray for the technology to work and give thanks for those setting time aside to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're honored to have Governor Pete Ricketts joining us. And he's going to provide us with a COVID-19 update. God bless you, Governor. We welcome you to the prayer call today.
Well, thank you very much, Karen. Thank you very much for having me on. And first of all, I want to say thank you to all the folks who have been praying for me and for our state. It's been very humbling to have so many people reach out to me and let me know that they're praying for me and my family. And it really is something that is just strengthening to me as we make some very difficult decisions with regard to how we manage this emergency at the state of Nebraska. We've got a lot of people working very, very hard, and it is, as you mentioned, Karen, unprecedented times. So please continue to keep your prayers coming and especially praying for wisdom as we make the decisions about how we continue to manage this going forward. Just where we are right now with regard to the state, I'm going to actually take everybody back a couple of months now. 2 months ago, almost to the day, we had our first patient that was diagnosed here in Nebraska. And shortly thereafter, I declared a state of emergency. We started putting in restrictions. And 2 months ago, what all the public health officials told us was this was so that we could flatten the curve and not overwhelm the healthcare system. So if you think about a peak where a bunch of people get sick all at once and there's a number of cases and they all go to the hospital, it has the potential to overwhelm the hospital system. And we saw this in places like China, Italy, and to a certain extent, New York, where you had so many people go to the hospital, they really had difficulty caring for them. And that was what we wanted to avoid, is to make sure that we could flatten that curve. And what our health officials told us was you can't necessarily change the area underneath the curve, which means you can't stop people from getting affected. It's a virus. We don't have any immunity. There's no vaccine. There's no treatment. But you can slow it down by taking these restrictions so that you don't overwhelm the healthcare system. And to that extent, we have been extremely successful here in Nebraska. Even in places like Grand Island, where we've had hot spots, we've been able to manage the healthcare system so that everybody who's shown up at the hospital has been able to get that hospital bed, that ICU bed, or that ventilator if they've needed one. And that's how we've managed this emergency. And so we've got tremendous capacity all across the state. Nearly 50% of our hospital beds are available right now, 44% of our ICU beds, and 79% of our ventilators. And so with that, we are working now to see what can we do to start loosening some of those restrictions. So this week, for example, we loosened the restrictions on things like elective surgery statewide. Restaurants in 59 of our counties are able to open up at half capacity. And, of course, worship services can begin again this week, starting on Monday of this week, where you're not limited to the 10-person rule. And now there's other restrictions and guidance we put out there on the Department of Health and Human Services website, but allowing houses of worship to be able to bring in families and really expand beyond just the 10-person rule we've had in the past. Now, that is just for worship services, weddings, funerals as well, but not in receptions, not in donut Sundays or funeral lunches or anything like that. Those are still all limited to 10 people, but just broadly speaking for the worship service itself. And the way we're thinking about this is that we think that the analogy I use is we could probably end all deaths on the interstate if we took the speed limit down to 5 miles an hour. But we don't do that. But it's essentially what we've done to society with these restrictions. And now what we're trying to do is figure out what is the right speed and loosen some of those restrictions. And we're in a much better position to be able to do that today than just a few weeks ago. We announced testnebraska.com, which is our testing program or expansion. You know, we're doing about 1,500 tests a day now, which is up from just, say, 600 or 800 a couple weeks ago. In fact, we did 10,000 over the course of the last 7 days. But this will add another 3,000 on top of that. We've started in Omaha and Grand Island. We'll be moving out across the state to set up 6 mobile testing labs that will do 500 tests a day each. And so this is one of the ways that we will greatly expand testing. So I encourage people to sign up at testnebraska.com. It's free. It's a database that's secure. Will only be used for this testing. It won't be sold to anybody, not given to law enforcement or anything like that. Only used for this testing program. And that will give us a better idea of how the virus is spreading in our state and how we're going to use the schedule people to come in through the drive-thrus to be able to make this as efficient as possible for people to get in, get tested, and get out, and then followed up with afterwards. So that's expanding testing is a big part of it. We're also expanding contact tracing. We've got 10 teams that we're setting up short-term. 6 of those teams are up with over 200 contact tracers. We've got 4 more teams that will take us up over 300 tracers, and then we're going to get up to 1,000 tracers here over the course of the next couple of months to be able to augment the teams that are going on in our local public health departments. So the idea is find people, test them, find out who's tested positive, get them to isolate, get the contact tracers to find out who they've been in contact with so they can quarantine and monitor their symptoms. And that's how we attack the virus directly so that we can really, again, loosen restrictions further to be able to help us get back to a more normal way of life. We're going to continue to manage this virus for the foreseeable future because there is no vaccination and there may never be one. So we're going to be social distancing for a while, but we can slow the spread and make sure we don't overwhelm the healthcare system. We're also arranging facilities at UNO, UNL, and UNK to do isolation and quarantine for people who may not be able to do that at home. We're reaching out to non-English speaking communities such as Spanish, Karen, Somali, Arabic, even French. So we're doing our videos in all those different languages. I do Spanish briefings on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5 p.m. So we're really working to reach out to communities to help them with the social distancing and understand what they can do to help spread prevent the spread of the virus here in our state. So I'm feeling pretty good about where we are with all these things. We've also got more personal protective equipment than we've ever had in the state. We still have more work to do on that, but we're feeling pretty good about our position there. So we've got the resources to be able to really execute the game plan to be able to tackle this virus, and that's what we're going to be doing is managing this over the course of the summer, gradually releasing restrictions to make sure that we can do this a step at a time and not overwhelm the healthcare system. So that's our plan. That's what we're going to be working on. And again, just appreciate every Nebraskan who's working to help slow the spread of the virus through our social distancing, following the guidelines we put out with regard to whether it's houses of worship or restaurants or whatever, to make sure that we're taking those steps to slow the spread of the virus here in Nebraska. And again, as always, I absolutely appreciate your prayers, so please keep them coming.
Well, Governor, we just salute you and we say God bless you. We thank you for your leadership, and we encourage everyone to be praying for you and your administration daily. You are carrying a very heavy load right now. And we also just want to thank you for continuing to invite people of faith to lead during this crisis. And so, Governor, at this time, I'm going to invite Pastor Stu Kearns from Zion Church in Lincoln, and he's going to lead us in prayer for you, your family, your administration, and for all the leaders to have God's wisdom and strength at this time. Thank you, Pastor Stu, for leading us.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor.
It's good to be with you today. Please pray with me. Lord God of our fathers, we thank you for those you've raised up for our nation to defend our liberty, to preserve our union, to maintain law and order within our borders. Give to our republic wise and fearless leaders in this hour of need. Enlighten and direct the multitudes you have ordained to power, that in this season of sickness and death and testing, their plans might be filled with knowledge and wisdom, and our country might be preserved in peace and unity and strength and honor. Take your governance and protection to your servants, and we pray particularly for the president and Governor Ricketts and Lieutenant Governor Foley, all the mayors across the state of Nebraska, and all those who are entrusted with this authority. Defend them from all evil, enrich them with all good, that the people may prosper in freedom beneath an equal law, and our nation may lift up your name in all the earth. Our God, by whom the meek are guided, grant us in all these challenges that the spirit of wisdom might save us from false choices, and that in your light we might see light, and in your straight path we might not stumble. Almighty God, from whom all truth and peace flow, kindle in the hearts of all the people of Nebraska the love of neighbor and a love for the common good and a love for you, our God. I pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Pastor Stu. And Governor, God bless you. Thank you so much. I know you are very busy for joining us. We very much appreciate it. God bless you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Karen. Thank you, Pastor. And everybody have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joining us now, I want to hear from one more leader, state leader, Senator Joni Albright. This year, actually, when I contacted her in January to sponsor the National Day of Prayer event, which normally happens in the Capitol, she was so gracious. Little did we know that we would be in the midst of a pandemic. She represents District 17, which is in Northeast Nebraska. We're grateful that she's joined us, Senator. We're grateful for your godly leadership. And I want you to speak to the listeners here specifically about the need you are experiencing in your area of the state because of COVID-19. Welcome, Senator Albright.
Thank you, Karen. I'd just like to thank Karen Bowling and Nate Gross for inviting me to host the Nebraska National Day of Prayer. What an honor it is to be with all faith leaders and prayer warriors throughout our great state of Nebraska. This afternoon, I'm really filled with deep gratitude to live in a country where we can gather remotely and pray. I'm humbled to stand with our Governor Pete Ricketts and Lieutenant Governor Mike Foley as we continue to protect our state in these most unprecedented times. My husband and I farm in rural Thurston, Nebraska. We have a cow-calf operation and we feed out what we raise. We grow corn, soybeans, and alfalfa. I represent District 17 in the Nebraska Legislature, which includes Dakota, Thurston, and Wayne counties here in Northeast Nebraska. This area has become a hotspot in our state with growing numbers of COVID-19 cases. I'd like to share what's on my heart and ask that you lift up not only Northeast Nebraska, but all areas of our state that are in desperate need of our prayers. The largest percentage of positive cases of COVID-19 are workers in production plants and that process our agricultural products. And as a farmer's wife, we count on the production plants to be opened and operating, ready to take our livestock. We have a great responsibility to feed the world. And at this time, there are very few facilities that can process our animals. It's our prayer that the workers on the line in these plants have the ability to get well, stay healthy and strong so that together we can continue to share in processing our products and continue feeding the world. We also pray for a fair price for the producer, processor, and consumer. We all need each other. We all need to be healthy, safe, and productive. At the state capitol on a daily basis, Beverly, Cindy, and I take calls, emails, and letters from constituents who are looking for answers. When will their checks arrive so that they can feed their families? When will the churches be open? When will our businesses be able to open? When will we be able to celebrate graduations, weddings, and funerals? Where and when will we be able to take our livestock and grain to market? And when is our state going to be back to normal? Our hearts break when we hear the loss of a loved one who's passed away in a hospital with no family at their side. The hopelessness is being felt throughout our state. I'd like to take this opportunity to recognize Governor Pete Ricketts and Lieutenant Governor Mike Foley, their staff, the agencies, and advisors for their swift work in protecting our great state from this virus and working with all sectors of our state as we move forward through these trying times. I pray for strength, perseverance, and wisdom in their daily work. I'd like you to join me not only in thanking, but holding the many individuals up in prayer that are our county health directors, our county emergency managers, our first responders, our doctors, nurses, and the Nebraska National Guard. Please pray for all Nebraskans, businesses, hospitals, and schools who have been put on hold while we figure out how to flatten this curve. Pray for the families who are homeschooling their children, for the children yearning to see their teachers and their friends, to be able to go outside and play free of the fear of this virus. We pray for our economy that it should bounce back from this pandemic that has plagued our nation. Mm-hmm. And pray for the agricultural community that has had several difficult years. Just before COVID-19, farm and ranch families had experienced many stressful years, and we were beginning to feel very confident that things were looking up. We are profoundly grateful for our many blessings, and we just ask that God supply our every need and rid us of this unprecedented virus that has plagued our nation. I'd just like to thank everyone for sharing in prayer with us today, and may God bless you and your families.
Thank you, Senator Albright. I have invited Pastor Mariano Menendez of Word of Life in Columbus to pray specifically for your request. And he's going to be praying in English and Spanish for the hopeless, the depressed, the brokenhearted, and praying for people who have directly been impacted in the meatpacking industry. Pastor Mariano, would you lead us in prayer now?
Absolutely. And before we pray, I just want to read a couple of verses out of Psalm 91. Quiero leer dos versículos del Salmo 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. El que habita al abrigo del Altísimo morará bajo la sombra del Omnipotente. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Diré yo a Jehová, esperanza mía, castillo mío, mi Dios en quien confiaré. For he will rescue me from every trap and protect me from every deadly disease. Él te librará del lazo del cazador y de la peste destructora. And Father, we come before the throne of grace in our time of need. Padre, hoy venimos delante de tu trono en el tiempo de nuestra necesidad. Lord, you said that if we cry out to you, you will hear to us. Padre, tú dijiste que si nosotros clamamos a ti, tú nos oirías. And today, we are in desperately need. Señor, hoy tenemos grande necesidad. We need you to move in power. We need you to move in healing. Señor, necesitamos que te muevas con poder y con autoridad. Lord, there is countless people, Lord, not just here in Nebraska, but all around the state and all around the world who are hopeless and feeling like there is no tomorrow. Señor, sabemos que hay personas, no solo aquí en Nebraska, pero alrededor del estado y de todo el mundo, que se sienten desamparados, sin esperanza. But Lord, today I said, Jesus Christ is the hope of glory in each and every one of those who trust him. Señor, hoy declaro que Jesucristo es la esperanza de gloria en todos aquellos que ponen su confianza en él. So I ask you today, Holy Spirit, breathe your life upon the world, here in Nebraska, but all around the world, that will bring hope and life and glory in every one of us. Espíritu Santo, yo oro que tú soples tu vida, tu gloria, tu poder en la vida de cada uno de aquellos que lo necesita hoy. Es en ti que encontraremos nuestra victoria. Lord, we thank you that today you hear us. This is not just words going up on the air. Señor, te damos gracias que sabemos que tú nos oyes. Estas no son palabras nada más que se van al aire. We know today that as we cry out to you, you will listen and you will hear or heal our land. Señor, sabemos que tú hoy nos oyes y que tú vas a sanar nuestras ciudades. I pray for those in the packing meat industry. Señor, por todos los que están en las encapadoras, Señor, I pray for their health, but also as they're separated from their families, give them hope. Remind them that you are still in control and you reign supreme. Señor, hoy, anímalos y muéstrales, recuérdales que tú estás en control de todas las cosas. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus today we pray. En el nombre poderoso de Jesucristo oramos. Amén y amén.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Mariano. And thank you once again, Senator Albright.
Thank you both very much.
God bless you. God bless you. I want to just make a couple of statements here as we move now. Just we won't have any other speakers, but prayer leaders, to recognize that prayer really does change things. God uses prayer often. You know, the 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon said, whenever God determines to do a great work, he first sets his people to pray. An incredible prayer movement is unfolding, and I think thousands are gathering online or through radio or conference calls, even on TV, uniting in prayer today. And I just love Hebrews 4:16 because it gives us a beautiful picture of united prayer. It says, let us, that means all of us that are on this call and everyone that is uniting in prayer, that you, that me, everyone would approach God's throne of grace with confidence to help us in our time of need. God honors bold prayers because bold prayers honor God. I have invited Pastor Rick Lorimer now to really set the framework to encourage us from 2 Chronicles 7:14. What posture does God desire from his people as we pray for the healing of the land? And then he's going to lead us in prayer for the church to be united in humble, repentant prayer as we continue to serve our communities. Welcome, Pastor Rick.
Thank you, Karen. It's an honor to be here and to be able to agree with so many prayer warriors and men and women of faith. I love 2 Chronicles 7:14, and while it was a promise specific to the nation of Israel and to Solomon, we learn so much about God. It's power-packed. It illustrates God's heart for his people, and it shows us what God is still attracted to by his people. And so it is, as we pray right now, I'm asking for we as a church that we would adopt the posture that we see in this prayer or this very verse that God, this very promise that God gave to Solomon, as we just begin to cry out to God. If you would, just join me in a posture, even a physical posture right now of prayer. This is what he said. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Oh God, we as your people right now, we pray, God, that God, it'd be crazy for us to ask you to move in our world if we first don't invite you to move in our own life. And we as your people, we want you to start here. God, we want to be humble. We want to be an illustration of that. God, we want to lead when it comes to serving. We pray for the local churches across Nebraska, that we would be that city on a hill. We would be that place of hope that leads in serving our communities. God, give us tangible ways to do that. Lord, I'm so grateful that you illustrated humility. Lord, from birth to crucifixion, that it wasn't about coming to earth to be served, but to serve. And God, may we adopt that same kind of attitude and be able to flesh that out in our local churches, Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. And Lord, as your people, we pray for your guidance and your direction. So many pastors, church boards, church leaders are trying to find answers when it comes to navigating in-person worship. And it's going to look so different. Here's what we ask, that you guide us and you direct us. That God, you be the one that gives us the wisdom. And oh God, that you also guide our individuals and the families within our churches to know when they are to re-enter in-person worship. And Lord, keep your people from judging others and from taking moral high ground and making others feel guilty if they have a different conviction regarding social distancing. Rather, God, may your people again lead in serving with an attitude of humility, of deferring, preferring others. God, teach us how to do this and do it well, even within our own congregations. This I ask in the name of Jesus. And oh God, that we would be a people sensitive to anything that grieves you. God, if there's pride, selfishness, stubbornness, we ask you to reveal it to us. Why? That we might turn, that we might be a people of repentance, that we would know what it means to do an about face when we're going down a path that's destructive, or it's not good for our community, or it's not good for our people, or it's not good for our own individual life, that we would hear you and the conviction of your Holy Spirit, and we would turn around. God, we love you. We need you. Thank you for calling us by your name, letting us be your people. God, we give you praise. We give you honor. And as we continue to pray, guide us and direct us and teach us how to pray through this COVID crisis. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. God bless you, Pastor Rick. I'm going to encourage you, wherever you are right now, if you would take your hand and place it on your heart and ask the Lord, Lord, search my heart. Lord, that if I am judgmental, if I am quick to criticize my pastor, my leader before I pray for them, change my heart, O God. Let the people of God be known for our generosity. Let the people of God be known for uniting, not dividing. We trust you, Lord, and we thank you for the promise of 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if we humble ourselves, that if we repent, that if we seek your face, Lord, that's what attracts you to heal a land. And we are in need of healing. Amen. As we move forward, I've asked Pastor Chris Ford, who serves as the prayer and care pastor on the staff of Good News Church in Omaha, to lead us in prayer for healing, specifically for those that are sick with COVID-19, for first responders, healthcare workers, really in the center of this pandemic who've become heroes to all of us. Mm-hmm. Pastor Chris, welcome, and would you lead us in prayer? Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Jesus, we just come to you. We just declare that you are Lord God. We declare that you are the Jehovah Rapha, that you are healer. God, we thank you that you heal today. You sent your word to heal all of our diseases and to redeem our lives from the pit and crown us with loving kindness. And we declare that over these men and women who are suffering with COVID-19. Father, we ask for a miraculous healing for each one of those. If one's coming off of the ventilator, God, we ask for miraculous recoveries for them. God, I pray that you'd be with their families, Father, that can't be with them. Would you comfort them? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just hover over them. You would watch over them. You would keep them in your perfect peace, oh God. And Father, we thank you for our first responders, God. We thank you, God, that they're our heroes of today. They're being our pastors, and they're being our comforters and the chaplains, even in the hospitals today. Father, we thank you for our doctors and our nurses, our hospital staff, our EMTs, our firefighters, our police officers. Father, we ask that you would be their covering, that you would be their protection. I just want to declare another part of Psalm 91 over them, because you have made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. I declare that over each one of these men and women. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. God, we ask for your angels to have charge over our first responders and healthcare workers, that you would keep them safe from this virus. You would keep their families safe from this virus. God, I pray that you protect them emotionally as well, that they won't suffer trauma on the other side of this. God, I pray not just their physical well-being, but their spiritual and their emotional well-being. God, I pray that they would have encounters with you and have meetings with you and be comforted by you. God, we thank you so much for this that you are the healer. We thank you that you are our guide, you're our protector, you are Lord of all. And Father, we bless you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God's people said amen. Thank you, Pastor Chris. Families have been so impacted with COVID-19, and particularly families who have school-age children. And today, I'm so excited to have Thor Farabee from Hickman on the call. He's 18 and a senior, getting ready to graduate from high school. And I think we can all relate to the last 2.5 months where educators, students, administrators, families, I mean, their learning formats have had to change. And I also think about the important celebrations that have been canceled, proms, graduation, athletic competitions, just to name a few. And so Thor is now going to lead us in prayer for students' academic years to finish strong and for God to surround students with his comfort and grace during disappointment. Welcome, Thor.
Hello. Please join me as we pray today, everyone. Lord, we ask you, Father in heaven, we ask that you help students in our state to continue to learn even through this crisis and to learn from this crisis how to better glorify you, Lord. We ask that you help all of our children in the state as they learn to still get an excellent education. Lord, we ask that you help the parents that are pushed into a new position to become teachers, Lord, that have now been homeschooling where they've never done this before. We ask your blessing of wisdom on them so that they will know how to best teach their children. And Lord, we ask that you help the seniors, especially high school and college, Lord, that are not going to be having large celebrations this year or their celebrations are postponed, to still know that you are in charge, Lord, and that it's truly your world and it's all for your glory. And it's not about us, it's about you. Lord, we ask that even though so many things have been canceled, we can still see that it's you that shines through all of this, Lord. We ask that you give power and wisdom to our graduates as they move forward into this new and exciting world, and that you help keep us safe as we move forward, Lord. And Lord, please help us as we move forward. In your great name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And all of us on the call, we say congratulations on your graduation, Thor. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
As we move on, we're going to spend the next 60 seconds or so, just there'll be worship music. And I encourage you now to think of family members that you know that need a touch from the Lord, that everything that's happening, they may be discouraged, or maybe there's a family member or a neighbor who has a child struggling in their work. As the worship music begins, would you call out their name before the Lord? Thank you.
Forgotten, the ones who feel unseen.
Lord, hear our prayer. The names that were just called out in prayer, we ask, Lord, that you would touch. Touch the student who's struggling. Touch the teacher who's struggling to connect to the student. To the families that are learning to homeschool. For the single mom who wonders how she can provide for her family while educating her children. Lord, we pray that you would hear our prayers. Amen. I've invited Nate Gross. He serves on the NFA team here with me, and his church home is City Light in Lincoln. And he's now going to lead us in praying for nonprofits and outreach ministries that are serving the vulnerable. Thank you, Nate, for leading.
Thank you, Karen. Let's continue in our time of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to unite today in prayer. And God, right now we lift up to you all whose hearts have been moved by their faith to serve those in need. For those who are working in our homeless shelters, at food banks, women's shelters, pregnancy centers, social service organizations, and all who are serving in outreach ministry, we ask that you would strengthen and encourage them as they care for others. God, would you sustain the hundreds of nonprofit ministries across our state, that they would meet the challenges they face head on and continue to fulfill their callings and missions in serving people in their communities and across Nebraska. Lord, help us to be merciful and compassionate, carrying one another's burdens as we look not to our own interests, but to the interests of others. Watch over, guide, and protect those serving in social work and ministry. Lord, bless their work and help us to give generously of our time, skills, and finances as you have given generously to us. Lord, you teach us in Matthew 25, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Help us to have servant hearts and to find creative ways to serve those in need, to love people well, and to point people to you. And lastly, Father, I pray for the body of Christ, that you would help us to go forward, continuing to boldly proclaim the good news of the gospel, not only through our words, but also in our actions, that we would let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify you. Thank you for who you are, Father, and that though our flesh may fail, we know that your perfect love never will. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All of God's people say amen. Well, we've had prayer leaders from the north, from the east, some from the south, and we're going to go out to the western part of the state now. Pastor Leroy Wire from Scotts Bluff joins us. And Nebraska is an agriculture state. In fact, it's our number one economic driver, and farmers, ranchers are really hurting now. And Pastor Leroy is in the heart of the agriculture community and knows firsthand the devastation. Pastor Leroy, welcome, and would you lead us now in prayer?
Thank you, Karen. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Your word records in Genesis 2:5, before any plants of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Lord, we see that you had placed all the plants on the earth, but you did not send the rain to cause them to grow until a man was there to till the ground. A vital piece to accomplishing your will was to have a man work the ground. Lord, we acknowledge and we thank you for blessing us with some of the finest and most productive men and women in agriculture in the world who live in Nebraska. Nebraska has a rich family tradition and heritage that has spanned for many generations in this labor of love called farming and ranching. We thank you, Jesus, that Nebraska agriculture has provided not just food, but agricultural products and knowledge that has impacted your world. Your word also declares in Deuteronomy 7 that if we choose life and choose your commandments, that you will bless the fruit of our womb and the fruit of our land and our grain and increase our cattle and the offspring of our flocks. Help us to choose you, Jesus, in Nebraska. Lord, we lift up farmers and ranchers who have gone through some very difficult times in these last 2 years. We ask you to send the rain of your blessing upon their families, their farms, their ranches, and their businesses. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would encourage them and strengthen their resolve and trust in you. Jesus, you often use agriculture in your everyday examples of the kingdom of God. You yourself said that you would be the seed that would have to die so that you could give new life. We pray that this generation and the generations that come would not forget those who till and work the ground in Nebraska and manage the prairies, but that we would also support and be thankful for the Nebraska farmer and ranchers who do what you do so that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Leroy. God bless you, and amen. We're going to move to the center of the state, Grand Island, Nebraska, that has been tremendously impacted by COVID-19. And joining us from Grand Island is Jay Houston. He and his partners own an insurance company, insure many of the industries that have been severely impacted by COVID-19. And I want Jay to lead us in prayer for businesses and their employees who are struggling, and just the economic future here in our state and nation. Welcome, Jay. Thank you for leading us in prayer.
Thank you, Karen. It's an honor to join all of you today. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for the business community in our state, made up of employers, owners, leaders, management, decision makers, and their employees. They are all hurting to one degree or another as a result of this pandemic. First of all, Lord, we pray for the employers that you would help them by your grace to fulfill their biblical mandate to treat their employees fairly and justly, knowing that they also have a master in heaven. But they need wisdom, Lord, wisdom of Solomon, wisdom from above. They are confronted with competing, conflicting threats, both of lives and livelihoods. Lord, you say your wisdom is from above, is first pure and peaceable and gentle. It's open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial and sincere. That's the wisdom these employers, these leaders, these decision makers need. Lord, give it to them. You say you store up wisdom for the upright, and I pray that you would give it to them as they cry out for it, and you give without reproach. For the employees, Lord, I pray that you would give them the grace to fulfill their biblical mandate, to work with a sincere heart as they would unto Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord, not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Lord, we also recognize that within these businesses, there are both believers and non-believers, those who've come to trust in you, who know you intimately, and those who don't. And I pray, Lord, for the believers, both employer and employee, that you would grant them peace during this crisis with the knowledge that you are absolutely sovereign and in control, even over this virus and disease. There is not one maverick molecule in this universe that you're not in charge of. Help them, Lord, to exhibit this peace to a watching world. And for those who are not believers, who don't know you, many of whom live in fear of death every day, even before this crisis, use this crisis, Lord, this calamity, to cause them to look up, to cry out to you, and to be saved. Lord, draw many to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jay. We want to now ask Tom Millett. He's the regional manager for the Bot Radio Network. They have stations all across Nebraska and, well, in many states. Media really plays an impact on culture. It's far-reaching. And during a pandemic, its reach is so very important. And so Tom's going to be praying for media outlets to provide accurate reporting, but also the opportunity to bring messages of hope in Christ. Thank you, Tom, for leading us in prayer.
Thank you, Karen. Pray with me. Father, we lift up those serving in the media across our state of Nebraska. The voices we hear, see, and read are like a friend, a familiar friend in the routine of our lives. They inform us and entertain us, but media can also inspire and encourage us and grow us. Media reminds us that we're all connected, and so I pray that people in isolation would be touched through a touch of the Lord, through something said on a media source. We pray that the media in our state and nation would reveal the reality of a living God. We pray for each person in the media, that they would have diligence, wisdom, and discernment, that they would seek truth in their work and in their personal life. Draw people in the media to a knowledge of you as their Lord. So many are isolated during these days. Touch them through media in a way that draws them near to you. Use this technology that you've given us in our day to reach open hearts across our state. I'm thinking of a lonely senior who's been isolated from friends and family, or a single parent struggling to make ends meet, or a business person worried about the future. So many lives have been interrupted by this crisis. Father God, use media to turn people's hearts back to you through your Holy Spirit. Use it to open hearts so that people can hear your voice, that they can sit quiet in their car, in their home, and contemplate the living God. It might be the presentation of the gospel by Franklin Graham on a network, or maybe it's an inspiring word from clergy on a newscast. You can use media that you would be glorified. Use events like the reopening of churches as an opportunity to present the hope of the gospel. Use it to awaken our city and our state to the reality of that you love each person in our state. Renew the hearts of people whose life routine has been interrupted during this time. We ask that you bring comfort to families who've suffered loss. We pray for a broad awakening as a people, that our hope is not in our personal prosperity. Our hope is in you. Bring our state together as we meet this challenge. This is our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Tom. Very grateful for your ministry and leading us in prayer. Marilyn Sinek, who serves as the communications specialist here at NFA, and just a young leader, and recognizes the importance of reaching multiple generations through media. I've asked her to lead us in prayer for creative communications, particularly to effectively reach the hurting. Marilyn, thank you for leading us in prayer.
Thank you, Karen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful to live in a country where we have a right to free speech, a free press, and freedom of religion. Thank you for bestowing your blessings and grace upon our nation throughout history. I pray that Nebraska and the United States of America would be places where religious freedom flourishes and a place where God is honored. in God we put our trust. I want to thank you for our news media and reporters. Thank you for honest reporters who report the truth with integrity. I pray for truth to prevail in our news coverage and on social media. I ask that any deceit or misleading false information that is broadcast would fall on deaf ears and wouldn't even have an audience. I thank you for tools like the internet, video chats, and conference calls like the one we're using today that enables the body of Christ to connect virtually. Even though we can't assemble at churches in person, I am grateful that Christ followers have a medium to gather and hear your word preached remotely over the airwaves on Sunday morning, and that we can freely worship you. I pray that you would use modern technology to reach even more people during this global health crisis. Give your people creative ways to reach the hurting and those who need to hear from you. Help pastors shepherd their flocks during this time. Wrap your loving arms of protection and healing around the vulnerable. Give government and ministry leaders the right words to communicate to a world that is in desperate need of you. I ask this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Marilyn. As we're nearing our hour, there's a couple things that I want to share with you. That today, yes, is a National Day of Prayer, but I ask that the Lord would continue to move on your heart to keep praying, that a culture of prayer would go forth in this state and across this nation. Governor Ricketts has issued a proclamation of prayer today for the National Day of Prayer, and I want to read two parts of statements that he has made. Civic prayers and national days of prayer have a long history in our constitutional republic. In fact, they go back to the First Continental Congress in 1774. That's actually at the beginning birth pains of our nation, when there couldn't be consensus, they called for a day of prayer. And the National Day of Prayer is really an opportunity for us as Nebraskans to join in united prayer, just like we're doing today, to acknowledge our dependence on God and to give thanks for blessings received and to request healings for wounds endured and to ask God to guide our leaders and bring wholeness to our nation. Earlier today, President Trump issued a proclamation. I also want to read just a section of that. It's very applicable to where we find ourselves right now. Today, as much as ever, our prayerful traditions continue as our nation combats the coronavirus. During the past weeks and months, our heads have bowed at places outside of our typical houses of worship, whispering in silent solitude for God to renew our spirit and carry us through unforeseen and seemingly unbearable hardships. Even though we have been unable to gather together in fellowship with our church families, we are still connected through prayer and the calming reassurance that God will lead us through life's many valleys. In the midst of these trying and unprecedented times, we are reminded that just as those before us turned to God in their darkest hours, so we must seek His wisdom, strength, and healing hand. As we close this time of prayer, thank you for taking time. And I continue to ask you, keep praying for our state, our nation. Pray for her leaders. Pray for your pastor, that they will be able to lead in righteousness. And as we close, Julie Gunter from Omaha, we're going to try something here live. We're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. And as she's going to sing that from her phone, then at the very end following that, I'll give you some additional resources to encourage you to keep praying. So, Julie, as a benediction, would you sing the Lord's Prayer to us?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
thank you, Julie. We say amen.
Beautiful. Amen.
I'm going to read to you from Numbers 6:24 through 26 as a blessing over those that were able to gather, those that will hear this later. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. We want to thank you for spending your noon hour with us as we go to the Lord, and we will continue to go to the Lord. For additional prayer opportunities today, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. You will find on our homepage a Zoom recording prayer that we had with Lieutenant Governor Foley and three pastors praying for the state. It's also on our Facebook page. It's shareable. We encourage you to share that and continue in prayer. And also for additional resources, please visit the prayer tab at Nebraska Family Alliance. There's ways that you can pray for a leader, lots of resources there. And we have a dedicated section for faith leaders and families in response to COVID-19, including a pray and serve card there that are available to you. And tonight there's going to be a Facebook Live and a video stream, a national observance, and you can learn more about that information at nationaldayofprayer.org, or once again, we have that posted on our website. God bless you. May his face shine upon each of you. And thank you for praying. God bless.